Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
And we're back, and another exciting episode of the Blazing Grace Show. Taff, are you excited?
I am.
Taff Winnick is excited. Jason Graves is just beaming to talk about a difficult subject to tackle, actually. We're going to talk about marriage, okay? The M word, as some people say. But why is this so hard to talk about in this day and age?
Well, it just brings up so many, so many arenas for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many hot buttons of discussion, so much emotional, disappointment or...
Right.
You don't talk to a lot of people experiencing the bliss. They're out there.
Right.
Or occasionally you run across, the people that are really getting it right. And it's so rich and you just want to like camp in their front yard for a while because what comes out of being beautifully married is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we want to talk about sort of the quality of marriage. And I don't know if this is the right vernacular, but I think we want to also talk about the quantity of marriage. How do you quantify marriage? What is marriage? And define it a little bit. Because I think that's part of what makes it hard too, is that in this day and age, it's becoming less and less clear what marriage is really all about, what it's for. We were talking about the show beforehand, and our producer, the amazing and talented and quite handsome, I would add Mike De Herrera, said, you know what? It's a covenant, not a contract. What's the difference between a covenant and a contract, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you did, because I know a covenant is for the promotion of the parties. A contract is for the protection of the parties. So there's a big difference there. Now, the other thing about a covenant is that the terms are always set by somebody who's in a higher authority. Okay, so we think about who could that authority be when it comes to setting the terms of marriage. Well, as a Christian, that's God. And he set up marriage and he kind of showed us what it's all about. What's the ultimate point of marriage, though? Well, if you talk to Christopher West and, look at the theology of the body material, the point of it is that as a man and a woman come together, they, in that union, reflect the very image of God. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Pretty heavy. I mean, goodness gracious. No wonder marriage is under attack if it's, if that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and covenant, you mentioned covenant. Covenant bets on the success of that. And contract bets on the failure of that.
Right.
Contracts talk about what happens when it goes when this breaks up.
Right.
And a covenant doesn't, there's not an allowance for that. So, I only bring this up again because covenant really is the only understanding of marriage union that could possibly make sense. And I just really appreciate, Jason, so much how you, I think you're learned and gifted to talk about this. I think God has really shown you some things, shown you the reality of this. And so I'm excited to be mixing it up with you on this topic this morning.
Well, by extension, I like what you said about, the failure versus success, because it's kind of like the difference between prenuptial agreements, in kind of a contractual sense, thinking, all right, the focus is on what happens if this thing goes south and doesn't work out, versus marriage goals. And hey, where are we headed? What direction are we going? And what do we want out of this? I know that, you and Garen do that. Susan and I do that. And, many couples do that. So, all right, we're going to get into some of this stuff. But I'm looking at dictionary.com and the definition of marriage. It's got some interesting things on here. And right off the bat, number one, there's like 10 definitions. Number one, listen to this. I wonder if this is, do you tell me if you think this is recently added or if it's been there since Daniel Webster. Number one, marriage, noun, the social institution under which a man and woman establish their decision to live as husband and wife by legal commitments, religious ceremonies, etc. Love that little etc. in there, right? So just give me your reaction to that. Let me read it one more time. The social institution under which a man and woman establish their decision to live as husband and wife by legal commitments, religious ceremonies, etc.
Well, to me, that's a veiled way of saying that this is, it takes it out of covenant and puts it into tradition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is generally how we, I don't know that was the intention of the author of that definition,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't, I didn't hear anything in there.
Mm-hmm.
What's absent from that is the sacred.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, and let's talk about the sacred, because this is where people kind of can go really different directions, is why does God make it between a man and a woman? You know, it says, you know, for this reason, a man will leave, you know, his parents and become cleaved to his wife, you know, to a woman. Why not marriage between, you know, two people of the same gender? Well, it kind of goes back to the question, can, according to God and his way of doing that, which, you know, God is sort of a, if you could say, a union of the genders, thinking backwards in sort of an anthropomorphistic way, that he's not so much a reflection of our genders as gender as we understand it is a reflection, when it's together, of God. So you and I, Taff, if we got married, we could not reflect God like Susan and I reflect God in our relationship.
I really deeply agree with that.
And I appreciate that. Aren't you glad? So, no, I mean, but why is that so difficult? You know, I mean, so here's the deal. I think that, now there's the whole argument of, all right, what about civil unions, for example? Well, you know, all right, maybe there's some validity to that. I don't really know. I haven't thought about it enough. I don't like, you know, the idea, and I'm not really interested in getting into a big political conversation about it. But what we're talking about here today is, what is the difference between covenant and contract? What is the purpose of marriage? What is the reason in God's side of it? And then, you know, from there, how do we really make that work? You know, so okay, I'm seeing you over there looking like you've got something just, you know, bubbling out of you and ready to spew onto the microphone. Can you share your thoughts?
Well, I just had a little too much coffee.
Oh, okay. That can happen. That can happen. No, this is a subject that can give you a heartburn in a second. Really, in the state of marriage, you know, today. So
here's what I. You're right, though. There was something that I've been thinking of saying, and you know, people who make the argument for civil unions, or really, so much of the argument about gay marriage, so much of the argument about legitimizing gay and lesbian lifestyle, all of that is what people seem to want is for the church or God or God's people to go ahead and say that, okay, that can be godly too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me, that goes back to the very beginning. It goes back to the fallenness
mm-hmm.
of our nature. Be like gods without him.
Hmm. Right.
Choose for yourself what's good and evil.
Yeah. We define it ourselves.
You define it, and then, you know, stamp God's name on it, and it's all good.
Right.
And it begins to feel like that for me. When I think of everything that the Heavenly Father, that God our Father does, it produces life.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't create things that don't produce life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the parable of the fig tree that wouldn't produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was cursed.
Right.
Because he's about bearing fruit. He's mm-hmm. about, you know, what he creates, what he sets in motion for it to create life.
Right. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about life. And I thought of it this way, from just a evolutionary standpoint. Okay. So say that evolution is true and say it exists, and that's really, you know, how it is. Right. Well, if you believe that, Wouldn't you then think that, you know, survival of the fittest would suggest that our species, if you will, can only go on if we can, like, reproduce? Because, you know, a marriage and a relationship between two people of the same gender, that can't happen. That's not possible. And I think that, we have to reconcile that reality in this, you know, in this day and age. We have to do that as Christians with a lot of salt, you know, gentleness, respect. I think this is part of where we lose touch with our culture, Taff, around this issue, because it's so controversial. I mean, there's people just seething at us even talking about it. And I think that if we do it in a gentle and respectful way, you know, with kindness, then that's really half the battle. You know, if you stand on a corner and hold up signs about it, you know, protesting a gay marriage or something like that, that's going to be a problem. You know, you're not going to get very good results. But instead, just talking respectfully about the issue, I think, can go a long way, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's important. This is sort of the broad, this is the broad statement that, you know, people who seek the truth, it seems like I read somewhere, Jason, that if we seek with our whole heart, if we seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say, well, if you're this kind of person and you seek me with your whole heart, mm-hmm. you'll find mm-hmm. me.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, a lot of believers have trouble just relaxing about that, that the people let people seek the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll become evident if that's what's actually going on or not.
Right. Right.
You know, the marriage, if God has ordained marriage mm-hmm. as a sacred thing in the earth, what are the chances that it could be damaged? What are the chances that somehow, I mean, it's almost like thinking God can fall off of his throne.
Right. So that gives us reason to not be afraid, I think, of things like homosexual marriage. Now, that's not to say we want to get on the bandwagon with it. I don't think I'll ever promote homosexual marriage, right? But by the same token, I love what you said, is I don't also need to be afraid of it. Even though I don't like it, I don't need to be ruled by fear, because you're right. If God created something sacred, don't you think he'll protect it? That's such a good point.
Right. I mean, we've spent so, you know, Christians have spent so much time defending the Bible, defending the truth, defending orthodoxy. And I heard, you know, a mentor of mine said it this way one time, you know, the word of God is like, it's like this, you know, if it's a caged lion, you don't really have to defend it. You just open the gate and get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't, God isn't fragile.
Right.
His truth isn't fragile.
Mm-hmm. And neither are his people. Do they need to be, you know, we don't need to be fragile
right.
about it. We can stand up for what's right, but we have to do that in a kind way. We have to do that in a loving way and in a respectful way. I had somebody the other day tell me, because I took issue with, I think something that was said on one of our Pure Passion TV shows by one of the guests. And they said, well, you know, I have a problem with you coming down on homosexuality. People living homosexually are some of the nicest people I know. Okay. Well, but let me ask you this. What are we talking about? Are we talking about if homosexuality and homosexual marriage are okay and godly, or how nice the people are involved in one thing or another? Because how does that enter into the debate? And the reason why I say that is because when we think about these things, being kind and loving doesn't always suggest that we agree with and we accept these things. You can agree to disagree, and you can stick to your position, and you don't have to worry about being liked and accepted because you're, you know, you're politically correct. I mean, I think that that's part of the trouble that in the church these days is that we're tired of getting beat up. I mean, I don't like being disagreed with. I don't like disagreeing with people. That is not fun, right? But when it comes to sacred issues, if we're not salt and light, and if we don't stand up for the truth, how do we expect that you know, we're gonna have a future, or that God's gonna be represented in people's lives?
You know? Yeah, and I think just doing anything fear based. You know, because we really are afraid of being diminished.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of this lives. We're afraid of the truth being diminished. We're afraid the sanctity of what we have will be diminished if someone else shows up and says that theirs is sanctified too, that theirs is sacred also.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. Like, well, let's just let God be God.
Mm-hmm.
And let's love people. Let's be Christ-like.
Right.
Be truth tellers, mm-hmm. speaking the truth in love.
Right.
And
that's, again, not to say that, you know, we're going to support or agree with that. But I want people to be comforted, Taff, with those words that you just said. You know, I think your heart is that while people who live in sort of, you know, conservative Christian circles and are parts of those communities and have these views, like yourself and I, we sometimes get afraid and we feel threatened because marriage might be diminished. But I think you're absolutely right. Just because something might be changing in our culture and society and we don't agree with it, and it doesn't represent what we think is a godly way of going about things and doing things, doesn't mean at the end of the day that his perfect true way of being and doing things is diminished, or as you put it, doesn't mean that, you know, my marriage is any less sacred.
Right. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed how militant people always trigger each other?
Say more.
I was just thinking, you know, a lot of believers are going to feel like after listening to this today that we're not as militant about some of these issues as they are, and, mm-hmm. and people have a lot of comfort in being militant mm-hmm. about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a war, this is a crusade, we've got to draw our swords and go lop some heads off.
Right.
You know, and that statement's true on both sides of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to go to war over this.
Right.
And we so easily forget things that we learned even coming up as believers. Things like, our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Right.
But against the rulers, the principalities, the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms.
In the heavenly realms.
In the heavenly realms.
Right.
Where God will never cease to be God.
Mm-hmm.
Where his authority will never cease to be his authority. Right. And we feel like so much of it, I don't know, I think we feel... I guess maybe I just want to say that the job of the Holy Spirit is already taken.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of eliminate room for the Holy Spirit to work. You know, I got an email from a friend the other day on Facebook, and, you know, they said, hey, I noticed that you're doing this radio show. I noticed that you're doing this TV show. And I hope you realize that, you know, what you're talking about is really controversial. And that, you know, I hope you're prepared to face some disagreement and things like that. And I said to her in a, you know, as loving way as I possibly could, because what she was saying is absolutely true, but I think maybe what I was perceiving was that she was saying in a suggestive way that, you know, perhaps I should really rethink what I'm doing. I said to her, so, you know what? You are absolutely right. It is controversial that we're talking about these things. But A, if we don't talk about them, how are we ever going to... you know, how are we going to communicate? How are we going to understand each other if we don't talk about things? But B, that, you know, Jesus was controversial. I mean, remember what he said? He said, look, if you want to follow me, unless you leave behind your family and kind of put them in the backseat in terms of priorities, that's a pretty controversial thing to say. Jesus was controversial, and not that I'm comparing myself with Jesus, but if I'm going to follow him and if I'm going to stand up for his truth, this isn't, you know, something I'm making up. I'm, you know, it's just stuff that I've learned, and you can tell me that I'm misinterpreting, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree on that. But if unless I am standing up for for his truth, then I'm not a person of integrity. So, you know, how could I be of value to society anyways? You know?
Well, and there are a lot of people that make issues. I mean, their being controversial is the issue.
Yeah, that's the point
of it. And I got to tell you, I don't know if this is true for you, Jason, but coming in here to the studio to do the show, that's not a thought that ever enters my mind.
Right.
Because I really, what I've learned to value is people actually, the journeying that people are actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
What is their process? How are you? We are all at some point
mm-hmm.
on a process, and we're either seeking the Lord or we're not.
Right.
We either really want the truth or we don't want the truth.
Right.
And that will always end up showing itself.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact that we can come in and talk about this, talk about any of these other mm-hmm. topics. Mm-hmm. And it really is mostly about how we've journeyed both as friends and as husbands to our wives, mm-hmm. as brothers to other men, as Christians.
Right.
I'd like for people to just value journeying authentically.
Right. Because to a kind of affirm what those out there who would say, well, you know what? I think that homosexual marriage is a valid thing. Look at heterosexual marriage. I mean, what is the divorce rate even in the church at like something like 50%? Okay, so let that be an admonition to us to focus on, as you're saying, Tef, our own journeys, you know, to focus on enriching our own marriages, not get caught up in, giving too much energy and responding negatively to what we perceive as a threat, but rather be comforted that the God of marriage is going to protect his sacred creation and invention. And now it's up to us to be good stewards of what he's given us, right? I mean, right. Can I get a witness here?
Amen.
Good. So, just a couple minutes left, you were going to chime in there?
Well, I just had this statement in my head, like God guards his own real estate.
Right. Amen.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that it seems like I read somewhere that he said that my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is in the hearts of men and women, mm-hmm. and to be seeking that first. Mm-hmm. And I think when God's people do that, and when we're not becoming when we're not going to war with when we go to war with what's left in ourself that keeps us from Him,
mm-hmm.
I think that's when the church begins to shine. I think that's when the true glory of what marriage is made to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that segue back to the topic?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it reminds me of there's a bumper sticker here in town that you'll see often. Folks on the family lives here in Colorado Springs. And so every once in a while, you'll see a bumper sticker. I'm quoting. It says, "Focus on your own damn family." Sorry for the French there, but that's what it says.
Right.
You know, and I understand what they're trying to say, you know, they're perceiving focus and things like that as a threat, right? But here's the deal. If we can take that as the wisdom out of that, I think there's some truth to it. That if we can't focus on where we live first and foremost, how is that God honoring? So let's be comforted by the fact that, you know, God does protect his own real estate, and that, you know, if we're living on that turf, so to speak, that we're going to be under that protection and under that care, and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Invite people into God's goodness as you're experiencing it, rather than trying to talk them out of their badness.
Ooh, that's good.
There's the fortune cookie statement for the day right there.
Yeah, that dog will hunt right there. Listen, speaking of dogs hunting, I don't know how I'm going to segue with that comment, but if you want to get a hold of either one of us, either one of these two dogs here, you can email us. You can get Taff at help@legendcanceling.com or email me at help@healingforthesoul.org. If you're looking for a group, well, Taff's got teleconference groups. Healing for the Soul, we run a special group for Catholic guys. So if you're a Catholic guy out there and you want to connect with other Catholic guys who are looking at recovery, we have a Catholic men's group you can call us about at 719-590-7685. Reach Taff by phone at 877-223-7331. And oh, by the way, there's a little retreat coming up, Taff. Hope as Big as Texas. Coming up May 1st through the 3rd right
and
here in Colorado.
It may not be that little. But
it might not be that little. I mean, Texas is part of the theme this year. You know, you have to come and find out why.
But, little retreat, huge hope.
Huge hope. I like that. That's good. So for more information, sign up for our newsletter at healingforthesoul.org and just punch in your email there and we'll keep you posted. Brochure should be out soon on that. So thanks for tuning in. Be sure and tune in next time when we talk about the father wound, part two. We're going to focus on the father wound and women. Thanks for tuning in and Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.